A friend of mine is a physician, and I asked him once how difficult it is to have to tell somebody very difficult medical news, especially if it's about their child. And he said it's the hardest part of his job. And sometimes he prays ahead of time before having to do that, but you know it has to be done, he said, but you don't look forward to those conversations. I'd like you to consider in your mind that you have two friends who are doctors. We'll call one Dr. A and the other Dr. B. And they are oncologists. They are specialists in the treatment of cancer and detecting cancers. And they're both very good friends of yours and of your family, and you've had a good long friendship with them, and they enjoy your company. And unbeknown to you, you now have developed a cancer. You've developed an illness that is treatable if it's caught now in time, and yet the treatment itself is very harsh, very difficult. It will mean a lot of difficult things for you and your family, for your body, and so on. And so imagine that both Dr. A and Dr. B, who know you so well, who work together, have now come to realize this diagnosis, and they've not yet informed you, and they sit down and have a conversation about how challenging this is going to be to tell you about it, because this is something very hard to have to present to you. And they're concerned about what your reaction is going to be like and what your family's reaction will be like and all the difficulties this is going to place into your life. And so they each go back to their office. And Dr. A thinks to himself, I love this person. I love this patient. I love you. It's hard for me to have to think of putting myself in the position of informing you about this. This is going to mean difficulty for you in the future. This is going to be hard for you to have to hear. You might get mad at me. Your spouse might get mad at me. Your kids might get mad at me. I think because I care about this person so much, the doctor, Dr. A, thinks to himself, maybe it would be better for me to just withhold this information because I want to keep a good relationship with this person and I don't want them to feel uncomfortable. Dr. B sits in his office and he thinks to himself, this is going to be so hard. This is going to be so difficult to have to go tell them this. I might lose their friendship. Their family might be mad at me. This is going to be difficult news to have to break to them. But this is my duty. This is my responsibility. It's my job. I have to do it. Losing their possible friendship is worth it to me if it can ultimately help. So, which of these two doctors showed you true love? Which of these two doctors truly cared about you and truly loved you, Dr. A or Dr. B? The prophets of God and the pastors of God who stand and speak his word to people and represent God and what his word says, preach and proclaim his law that diagnoses sin out into the world. It's the same law that strikes their hearts too, by the way. And when that word has been spoken to condemn a particular sin, and they must now tell that to an individual whom they care about and whom they love, and they know this isn't going to be received very well, and they may be tempted to feel that they want to sidestep that responsibility because they just don't want to hurt people's feelings. You can find many churches out there in the world today that don't want to hurt your feelings, that don't want to tell you you've got cancer. They want numbers, they want popularity, they want to blend in with society. Even though God in his word has clearly declared certain things sinful from which we should repent and turn away, they no longer want to say that to people because they know it's a difficult word to have to hear. You can find many pastors in the world who will alter the word of God for some reason, either for themselves or for their hearers' sake. Years ago, I had a woman in a congregation I was serving who was being unfaithful to her husband and had now left him and was living with another man. Her own parents came to me concerned about her spiritual well-being, and I called her in to talk to me and brought up her sin to her, and she got mad at me. And I told her I didn't want her to take communion until she had come to repent of this, Because in communion we receive the forgiveness of our sins, and you need to be penitent of your sin. She got mad. She said, I don't care about this. And she got mad at our church and decided to leave and go to another church in town. And her parents came and told me about that. So I called up that pastor, and I explained the situation, and I said, I'm trying to bring her back to repentance. And he said, I don't think you can do that in this day and age. I think that's too difficult. Just let it go. You can find a lot of people that tell people what they want to hear, that don't want to pass on the cancer diagnosis. But you see, the job of a preacher of the Word of God is not about popularity. It's about Judgment Day. It's about making sure that people are ready to stand before the Almighty God. And that can only happen through repentance of all of our sin and clinging to His marvelous grace in Christ Jesus. There are times when pastors have to stand in front of people and declare things that are difficult for them to hear. It's hard for us to hear, too. There was a pastor that used to preach on this campus named Norman Madsen, and he wrote this. No one will ever preach the law as it ought to be preached who does not pity those upon whom its stern judgment must finally fall. It's hard to tell people what they're doing is wrong if you know they might quit your church over it. It's hard to tell people what they're doing is wrong if you might get blasted for it in the local newspaper. It's hard to tell people what's wrong if you're looking for popularity. But that's not what this office is about. To be a watchman over Israel means to speak truth, to speak God's truth into the heart so that we can be brought to the wonderful grace He's given us on the cross. St. Paul said to the Galatians, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. That is still so true today. If our goal in the church and as pastors and those who proclaim the Word of God is to be popular with people, this is the worst way to do it. But this has nothing to do with popularity. It has to do with preparing people for that moment of the Day of Judgment. The early church, the believers in the early church realized how essential this was as part of the Christian faith. And they made sure to write into their worship service, right at the front, this very process of confession of sin and absolution. I invite you to take out your hymn book and turn to page 41 and to join with me in that very process today. We join in the confession number one. Let us bow before the Lord and confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, you have given your only begotten Son to die for us. Have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us a true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now lift up your hearts, and hear the holy and comforting word of our Lord. Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lift up your hearts. By the authority of God and my holy office, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.